Good evening, and once again, welcome. This lesson is being recorded for Sunday, June the 1st, 2025. This is the lesson that will be presented when we gather together here at the Rose Avenue Church of Christ in Bellflower, California at 6 o'clock in the evening. And as is always the case, if you are in our area, we invite you to come and be with us as we gather together to worship God. On Sunday mornings, we have a Bible study at 9:45, a worship service at 10:50. We have another worship service at 6 o'clock Sunday evening, and then on Wednesday night at 7:30, we have another Bible study. And if you are in the area, come and be with us every time that we gather together. You would be an honored guest, and we would be encouraged by your presence. But with that in mind, let's go ahead and deal with the lesson that is going to be presented at the hour according to this video. This, of course, is the first Sunday of the month, and what I have now done for a number of years is I've set aside this particular time frame to basically just preach through a book of the Bible. And at this time, we are dealing with the book of James, a study that we began actually in January of this year. And what we have addressed in the book of January so far, after introducing that book, is we've noted how it is a very practical book, and James has addressed the importance of trials and how trials can actually make us better if we approach them with a proper attitude. We've also noted how we can turn to God for strength as we deal with our trials. And then in our last lesson, which was chapter 1, verses about 9 through 18, we find in that particular text that we dealt with temptation and how temptations can lead to sin if we do not resist the temptations. And if we do not repent of our sins, it can lead to spiritual death. We noticed within that text that God does not tempt us to sin, but rather He provides every good and perfect gift. And He provides that which is necessary to give us the way of escape. And what comes to my mind when I think of that is 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, which we dealt with, where Paul said, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And so we have the promise that whatever temptations we face, we don't have to give in to those temptations. God will make the way of the escape. It's up to us to choose that. But he goes on in our text, and in verse number 18, he makes the point of his own will. He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we have been brought forth through his word. Through his word, we have an understanding of what we need to do to deal with our temptations and in everything that we do within our lives. And it is with that in mind that we lead to our text that we are going to be dealing with this evening, which is verses 19 and 20. And actually, as I put this together, I've made the decision that I'm going to make this a two-part lesson. In verse number 19, you read, "So then, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So this evening, I want to talk about what it means to be slow, swift to hear, and slow to speak. And then in our next lesson, we will tie it together by talking about being slow to wrath. So let's go ahead and get started by dealing with the idea of, are you listening? And that's the idea of being swift to hear. And basically the point that is being emphasized is before you say something, you need to know what you are responding to. As I look at our society today, one of the concerns that I have, and I know this is not exclusive to this society. I mean, look at the Bible and you see some ideas associated with this. But far too many today and too often we see that people are not willing to really listen to what is being said. And in many instances, it's just about indifference. And this is not saying that they don't hear words, but they're not really listening to the message. And quite often there are those who just absolutely refuse to actually listen to what you have to say, to listen to your reasoning. They have made up their mind and they're unwilling to consider anything different. There are those who interrupt in the midst of somebody that is making a defense or giving an answer for something. They have preconceived views, and when somebody tries to give them an answer to something, they can't get it because they're not willing to go beyond what they've already made up their mind is the truth. And if you've watched the news at all, if you watch commentary shows, or if you watch during a political season the various candidates, it is not uncommon that while one is giving an answer, that the other candidate or candidates will interrupt and they will cut them off and they won't let them finish their thought. And you might notice that news media outlets, I mean, it even becomes a concern where they set rules ahead of time. And quite honestly, if you're interrupting somebody else, that's rude. That's the bottom line. And I'll tell you right now, that is something that I struggle a little bit with myself, hopefully not to the degree, because I'm not wanting to hear what they're saying. But there are many that they're just not interested in what somebody else has to say. They're not interested in investigating whether or not something is the truth. But if we want to be right with God, if we want to properly overcome temptation, and if we want to treat each other the way that we want to, or the way that we ought to, and that's what the book of James is about, it's a very practical lesson, then we've got to be willing to listen to others. In Proverbs 18 and in verse 13, and you're going to note in this lesson that we're going to devote considerable time to what we call the wisdom literature. And in particular, I'm focusing on the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We could go into the book of Psalms and find some things there as well. But there's so many things that are said in the wisdom literature about listening and also about what we actually say. And then, of course, we want to look at some New Testament things. Let's begin with Proverbs 18 and verse 13, where Solomon, with wisdom from God, writes, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." Oftentimes when somebody makes an argument of some sort, they don't have all the facts. You know, and that's the point that is being made with this. You're making your response, but you don't have all the details, and you've prejudged a circumstance, and you just don't have all the answers to what is going on. Now look at some other Proverbs that we might give consideration to. In Proverbs 4 and verse 1, and this is in the midst of Solomon writing to his son about the importance of wisdom, and about the first 9 chapters in the book of Proverbs are expounding upon the importance of getting wisdom within our lives. And he's pleading with his son to listen. And he says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." So he's saying you need to stop for a moment and you need to listen. And not only that, you pay attention. And when we ask the question, "Are you listening?" what we have in mind is, are you paying attention to what is actually being said? This is not about audibly hearing what is being said. You know, quite often within a home, you may be listening to what your spouse says, but are you really listening, or are you just hearing the words that are being uttered? If you want to understand something, you need to pay attention to what is being said. And it's basically a call to be wise as you are seeking to process that which is being said. In Proverbs 13 and verse 8, "The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke." And the point that is being made in this particular text is, a lot of times we have problems in our life because we're not willing to listen to the advice of others. We are living reckless lives. We're living irresponsible and squandering and so on. And when somebody tries to warn us about that and get us on the right path, we're not interested. We don't want to make correction. And that's why it says here, the poor does not hear rebuke. And the point that Solomon is making is, this is an example of somebody that the reason he's poor is he won't listen to the one that tells him why he's poor and what he can do to change that situation. You continue with Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31. The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. And of course, the point that is here is those who are wise, they're willing to listen and learn and even be corrected. And because of that, they prosper. They're better off on the other side. Proverbs 20 and verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And just simply say the reason we're able to hear and the reason we're able to see is because God's given us those abilities. We look at our bodies, and as the psalmist would say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made before God. He's given me the ability to hear. I need to use that ability, and I need to use the ability to communicate and to speak. I need to use those things with wisdom, and I need to use those as a good steward of that which I have been entrusted with. So never forget who created you and what he wants from you. Going to the book of Ecclesiastes, a book in which Solomon is searching for the meaning of life. And in the midst of this search, there's a number of proverbs that he presents all throughout this book. And in Ecclesiastes 7 and in verse 5, you read there, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And this goes along with a little bit of what we've been talking about, but this goes to ask the question, what is it that you really want to hear? If you are wrong, if you're headed in the wrong direction, do you really want somebody to correct you? Or do you want somebody to rebuke you if you're making mistakes? Or would you rather them pat you on the back and say that you're okay? If you're teaching error, you know, religiously, if you're teaching error, if you're following false doctrine or following somebody that's leading you down a false path, do you want somebody to tell you about that? You know, and another question that you might want to ask along that path there is, do you want to hear what you want to hear, or do you want to hear what you need to hear? And there's a difference between those two things. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 21, also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Here's another side of the idea of hearing. And the point that I make here is don't overhear what was not intended. In other words, don't read into what you hear something that was not intended. And this comes back to the idea of when you hear something and it just hits you a certain way, before you respond based on that, step back and kind of weigh the situation. Is it possible that you misunderstood what was said? That it wasn't said the way that you, it wasn't meant the way that you actually heard it? And by the way, the one way to deal with that is to clarify it. You know, you're going to speak up, but what you're going to speak up, rather than responding, you're going to clarify so that you can respond appropriately. So you can see all of these passages that talk about the idea of listening and the importance of being swift to hear. But I want to take this just a step further. I want you to consider that, what about listening to God? You know what's interesting, and as I was preparing for this lesson, this is one of the observations that came to mind. You know, you read in verse number 19, it says, the New King James Version, so then, my beloved brethren, in that expression, so then, that ties what James is saying in this verse to what was said before this. And remember, in our last lesson, we talked about temptations and overcoming temptation and how God does not tempt us. And we pointed out that verses 17 and 18 are more than likely emphasizing what it means that God is not going to tempt us to do evil. Instead, he cares about us. He provides that which is good for us. And then he says in verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. And so what he emphasizes here is it is through the word of God that we know what we need to do. And that's the point that he is making. And in that, we can be the kind of first fruits of his creature. We can be what he wants. We can be that which is the best where he is concerned. Because through the word that he has presented to us, through the word of truth, we learn what we need to do. And it is tied to that that he says, so then, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. So as we listen, apply that in general terms as we just have, but also apply that, what about listening to God? And how do you listen to God? Are you listening to his word properly? Is it possible to listen to his word improperly? And I will tell you right now, you study God's word and you find that to be very possible. You know, over in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, this is Matthew's account of what we describe as the transfiguration. And that is where Jesus with Peter, James, and John, he goes up on a mountain and his appearance is altered. And Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus. He's about to go to Jerusalem to die, and they're amazed at what they're seeing. And Peter says, you know, this is great that we're here. Let's build three tents, you know, one for each of you, and then we'll call the masses up here to see all of you. You know, and you can see the good intentions of that. But he wasn't really thinking a whole lot ahead of, based upon what Jesus had been teaching. And then a voice comes from heaven. It's God. And he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Are we listening to God? I'm going to tell you right now, at times the disciples, they had problems listening to Jesus. How often was he somewhat frustrated with their responses to the things that he was saying to them? There were occasions where he was sitting there saying, you know, think about what I'm saying to you. Listen and then weigh what has been said before you respond. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want a proper faith, it's going to come because we take the time to listen to what God has to say to us. You know, in James chapter 2, verses 22 and following, here James, and this comes after this, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The next thing he says there in verse 21, therefore, tying it to this, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Notice how three times in these verses where he's talking about looking into the perfect law of liberty. Remember, that's verse 18. The word of truth is what he has brought us forth with. Therefore, hear, be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And then he goes on and he talks about the word of God. Three times in that text, he mentions the idea of hearing God's word. And he's very clear about what hearing God's word involves. And of course, we'll touch on that in a couple of months as we continue studying through the book of James. But moving ahead with this, listening to God, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 15, here you find as Jesus has been engaged in a discussion, he says to the disciples, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you know, that's an interesting statement, and I summarize that what Jesus is saying, pay attention. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and more than just hearing the words, I want you to grasp the meaning of what is being said. And you find that expression three times in the Gospel of Matthew. And interestingly, you also find it seven times in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. There you have these letters to the seven churches of Asia, each one of them a personal letter based upon their personal situation is addressed. And at the conclusion of every one of those, you have this expression, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And it's not to a specific church, but all of them. You're to listen. You are to listen to what I tell you to do. So we can clearly see in that we need to be listening. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Hebrew writer is concerned about Jewish converts to Christ who are thinking about turning to or returning to the old law. And as the Hebrew writer explains how everything about God is better, everything about Jesus is better than what the old law had to offer, he goes on and in verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 4 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest," talking about heaven, by the way, "let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed," listen to this, listen, "the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So he's making the point there concerning Israel in the wilderness. Basically, they heard what God said, but they didn't really listen. They didn't let it sink in. And I'll tell you right now, they heard, and oftentimes, at the moment, they would respond. You know, they would make a covenant with God. "Oh, we promise that we're going to do what you say." But then days later, they break it. And they build a golden calf while Moses is on the mountain. Just a few weeks later. Shows that the covenant they made, they didn't really mean it. They weren't listening to God. They heard what he said. But they didn't let it sink in and influence their lives. They weren't really listening. Matthew 13. You find here that the disciples come to Jesus. He's given them the parable of the sower. And you find here that they ask Jesus, "Why? Well, why are you speaking to us in parables?" And the reason that Jesus gives in Matthew 13 and beginning in verse 13 says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy is of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them." Jesus taught in parables because he knew that those who were interested in following him would think about what he was saying. And he helped them with that. But those who weren't, they'd just hear a story. That's all they would hear because their ears were closed. They were not listening. And that was the sad reality of that. We need to listen to God. The Proverbs. "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." So you've got the point that is made there, that if you're not going to listen to what he says, and the idea of you turn away your ear from hearing it, it's not that you haven't heard the words, it's you're not listening to them and you're not applying them in your life. How can you expect God to hear your prayers when you refuse to do what he tells you to do? Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 1. "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Draw near to hear rather than heed the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." And what is interesting about this verse, he's saying when you go to the house of God, you need to be wise. That's the idea of being prudent. You're wise and you're cautious as you go to the house of God and you seek to hear, to listen to what it's saying, and don't listen to those who are rejecting God's word. And many times he says, they don't even know they're doing evil. In other words, they think they're doing right, but because they haven't listened and properly understood what was being said, what they're teaching and what they're doing is contrary to God's word. Therefore, it is evil. Hebrews 12 and verse 13, here's the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. You listen to me. This is the conclusion of what I'm telling you. I've been searching for the meaning of life, and everything in this life is vanity. You know what the conclusion is? Listen, fear God, and do what God says. That's what your life is about. He goes on and he talks about it. He's going to bring every work into judgment. So we need to be concerned about that in our lives. So you need to ask that question, are you listening to God? We need to carefully listen to what God tells us through His Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul there told Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, I want you to put forth diligence. Put forth the effort. The King James, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's the idea of listening. Listening's more than just reading the text. Now, I'm an advocate that we need to be reading the Word of God, but we also need to be studying the Word of God, and that's two different things. And if you want to know the difference, last year that was my theme. Go look at the 2024 sermons, and I presented a number of lessons about Bible study and reading and studying God's Word and the difference and how to study and how to read and so on. Our goal needs to be to listen to what He says. And that requires effort. You be diligent to present yourself approved to God. And incidentally, that's going to help you overcome temptations. Remember how Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan in Matthew 4? It is written, he said every time. We need to listen to God. But that brings me to the second point that I want us to consider. And that is, not only do we need to be swift to hear, we need to be slow to speak. And the way I respond this is, are you sure about what you're saying? Are you sure that what you are saying is what you need to be saying? Before you say something, have you thought out what it is that you are going to say? And this is especially true if you're engaged in philosophical discussions, whether it's about religion or anything else. If you're engaged in a discussion with somebody about what is going on and concerns that you have, carefully weigh your words before you speak. You know, when we get to the book of James in chapter 3, and it's going to be quite a while before we get here, at the rate we're going in this particular study. But in James chapter 3, James deals extensively with the tongue. And I'd like to read these verses. We're not going to comment on them, but just read. We'll study this at a later date. Where he says, you're my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And like I said, there's a whole lot to unpack in that text, and eventually we will get to that particular passage. But the bottom line is the tongue is dangerous. And we need to weigh our words carefully. And that's the point that James is driving home. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the only time he deals with our conversations in this particular letter. You know, over in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus says this about the tongue. He says there in verse 36, "But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus is making the point that we're going to answer one day for everything that we have said. That's why we need to be careful what we say. We will be justified or we will be condemned by the words that we use. And incidentally, the words that you use reveal who you are. They say something about your character. If you use profanity, if you loosely talk about others, if you gossip, if you lie, if you don't tell the whole truth, those things reveal your character. And it's based on things that you say as well as things that you do. But the point is, be slow to speak. You know, as the saying often goes, you know, before you put your mouth in motion, put your mind in gear. Think about what you're saying. And the wisdom literature addresses this, both positive and negative. Proverbs 10 and verse 19 says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there is also vanity, but fear God." And incidentally, this is within a context where Solomon's talking about making vows, and before you make a vow, he says, you make sure that what you say is true. So you've got that idea that's associated with that, and you make sure that you understand the vow, because you're expected to keep it. "Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin" is the warning that you have in there. In the multitude of words, there's emptiness. You know people that just love to talk? You ever get tired of that? You know, and you may out of a courtesy just listen, you know, just keep listening because you know there's somebody who likes to talk. You know, that might be true of me, you know, to a degree. You know, sometimes people will ask me for an answer and I could give the simple yes or no answer, but instead I enter into a dissertation about why. That's not what they ask for, and sometimes lovingly they remind me of that fact. After all, I am a preacher from that standpoint. But the bottom line in all that we're saying here is, you know, be slow to speak. Think before you speak. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. "The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." The idea of the hypocrite destroying his neighbor, you know, spreads gossip. Says things in anger, which is the next lesson that we will address in our next lesson and so on. In anger, he speaks against his neighbor. He speaks to his neighbor in anger. He destroys. What a great fire the tongue can kindle. Proverbs 11:13, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." You know, before you say something about somebody else, you need to ask three questions. Maybe even more than that. But one question you need to ask, number one, is it true? Number two, is it helpful? And number three, is it necessary? And if you don't get past those three questions, you don't need to say something in most circumstances. So we need to weigh our words. A talebearer says things that he doesn't need to be saying, and that's the point of revealing secret. But the faithful one, he keeps his mouth shut, especially if it's of a private nature. He deals with that between himself and the other individual, and he doesn't go saying it to everybody. He's slow to speak before he brings something up. in Proverbs 13, verses 2 and 3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. And you could slip those two statements into what we say. But he goes on in verse 2, he says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You ever say something and before you get it out of your mouth, you regret having said it? He who guards his mouth preserves his life. There's a lot of damage that can be done when we speak too much and when we say the wrong thing. So, the wisdom literature talks about the ungodly tongue. It also talks about the godly tongue. Proverbs 16 and verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So you've got the idea there. He listens, but also he thinks before he speaks. That's the idea. If he teaches his mouth, he's not going to let it say what he doesn't need to say, what is unwise, what is inappropriate, what is not appropriate for that occasion. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And while the wicked man destroys with his words, the wise man builds up. The godly man is seeking to encourage. That's why he thinks about what he says. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So he talks about how a soft answer turns away wrath. You've got somebody that's angry because of something that was done or said. You can respond in two ways. You can respond in kind with anger and with harsh words, or you can calmly answer, being as kind as you possibly can. And a lot of times that will diffuse a situation. And that's the point that is being made there by the soft answer, turning away wrath. And the wise tongue uses knowledge wisely. You think before you say, is this the right thing to say at this time? Is this the right thing to say? Proverbs 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Covering a transgression. And this goes back to what we've already talked about here. There's just things about others you just don't need to say. Let's just leave it at that. And that's true within family sometimes. You ever have a husband or wife that they're talking down about their spouse to others out within society? It just doesn't need to be done. It's not helpful. It's harmful to the relationship, and it's harmful in so many different ways. Keep your mouth shut when that's what you need to do. You don't have to say everything you see and hear. Proverbs 11:12. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Again, maybe you don't need to say anything. Even if you've been wronged, you know, say you're wronged one time, just bear it. Bear with it and move on. And hopefully if it was a one-time thing, do your best to just let it go. And if it is something that's repeated, maybe it needs to be dealt with. And even then you think. But the man of understanding, because he's dealt with this for a while, he weighs his words. And he tries to be as diplomatic as he can in resolving whatever the concern is. Ecclesiastes 12:11, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. The idea of a goad is a prod. And he says the words of the wise, you know, they will prod somebody, move them in the direction that they need to go. The words of scholar, well-driven nails, something that is established in place and it's going to hold what needs to be held in place. So you've got all these passages that talk about being slow to speak and thinking about what you say. But now let's apply it back to verse 18. Remember, we were brought forth by the wisdom of His Word, or the truth of His Word is what we brought forth. And that leads to what He says, so then be swift to hear, slow to speak. Let me ask the question here. Are you sure that what you have heard and what you are saying is really what God meant within a given context? Let us not forget to think before we teach others about what God has to say. You know, going back to that James 3:1, James said, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." And what exactly does he mean by that? More than likely, you're accountable for what you lead others to do. And we need to think about that. Before I teach something, I need to ensure that it is the truth. And if I'm not sure whether it's the truth or not, I need to keep my mouth shut. I don't need to say it, and that is the point. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Leading up to the instructions about vows. Remember, we read a few moments ago, like verses 8 and 9, or 7 and 8 from Ecclesiastes 5. Here the observation is made, walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifices of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth, therefore let your words be few. And so we've been talking about this when you go to the house of God. We dealt with that a few moments ago. And here he goes on and he says, you're not rash with your mouth, and you don't let your heart utter anything hastily before God. So we just need to be careful when it comes to what we say about God's Word. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Now, there you got that, he thinks. How am I going to answer this question that has been asked of me spiritually? You know, here we are dealing with what God says. You know, somebody's asked me a question about God's Word. How am I going to answer that? And am I going to think before I answer it? Am I going to take the time to study and make sure that the answer is what God intended? Going back to 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent or study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Earlier we talked about the idea of being diligent to make sure that you say the right thing. Here we're talking about you handle it accurately. When it comes to God's word, we need to make sure that we are handling accurately His Word. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, you could apply that to just speaking in general. Should be, as we've already noted. And think about that when it comes to God's Word, so that you know how to answer somebody. You don't have to be harsh. You know, how many are there that are out there that they are hateful with their words? They're telling the truth. And I've actually heard individuals say, well, I told them the truth. And basically, you know, they're like a bull in a china shop in saying whatever it is that they're saying, when they could have been a lot more diplomatic. They could have been a lot more gentle in saying the truth. But they just chose to say it in a harsh way, when it wasn't necessary. Now, sometimes it is. You know, over in Jude 22, verses 22 and 23, one chapter, Jude says there, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And he says, you know, on some you have compassion, but others you snatch out of the fire. You know, there's a time to be strong. There's a time for strong, harsh language. Jesus is an example of that. In Matthew 23, when he rebuked the scribes and Pharisees, you don't get much harsher than that. But it had a purpose, and it was appropriate because of who they were and the influence that they had on those around them. But others, and most of the time when Jesus dealt with individuals, you don't have that harshness. You have a gentleness and a kindness in the things that he said to them. He was compassionate in trying to teach. And what he did, and what he did throughout his life. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Know the answer before you give the answer. You know, I'll tell you three words that will help if somebody asks a question that you don't know the answer to. And those three words are, I don't know. Be honest about it. Now, you might add to that, but I will get back to you. And if you say that, you need to mean it. But the bottom line is you'll look for an answer. And then you'll be ready to give the answer. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. We find in this passage here that Paul is describing the servant of the Lord. And the way he describes him in this text, he says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Paul is just talking to Timothy there, encouraging him as a servant of the Lord to have a proper demeanor. And he's telling him, if you have this demeanor, it will help you be successful. It'll give you more likelihood of being successful as you're trying to snatch somebody out of the entrapment of Satan. You're not quarrelsome. You're gentle. You're patient and humble. And yes, able to teach as you deal with them. And of course, as we teach, we have to proclaim the whole counsel of God without compromise and error. So when we speak, we are weighing our words the way that we ought to. That means you think before you speak. So there we have swift to hear and slow to speak. Now the third thing that is mentioned by James is slow to wrath. And as I've mentioned in my next lesson, we're going to address the idea of being slow to wrath. The Bible has a lot to say about that, and we may actually build in some other qualities that are tied to that. But the bottom line is we need to be willing to listen to what other people say, and if they're speaking, listen before you give the answer. And then when you give the answer, even then you weigh your words. That's what James is saying. And think about how doing that will keep us out of trouble in so many different circumstances. So think about that, and I commend the lesson to you. Are you in control of what you hear and what you say? If you would, please bow with me at this time. Our dear God and our Heavenly Father, again we come to you and we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the hope that you have given us as we study your word and as we learn what you would have us to do and as we respond to what you would have us to do. Dear God, help us to have the type of a disposition where we can make the world and the influence of those around us a little bit better. Help us to watch what we say and help us to watch what we hear and be swift to hear and slow to speak and, of course, slow to wrath. Be with us through this week. Help us to let our light shine. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and amen. And again, and as always, thank you for listening, and I hope that you have found some benefit in the lesson that has been presented here and the lessons that are made available us today. In the meantime, as you go through this day, go through this week, think about what you say. The tongue is so important. And is so foundational in the lives that we live. Guard it. Listen and talk with wisdom. So thank you. Till next time. Goodbye.